Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. We're going to start in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, and we're going to do a little more. We read through the chapter last week and kind of put it in context. I want to look at a little more detail between beginning in verse 18 and going up to, right before we get to the part where he starts talking about predestined foreknowledge and closing the chapter down. But I'm going to begin in chapter 8, 18. Well, let's look at this. Some of you have notes from last week. They're the same notes. If you don't have any notes, we're out of notes. We ran out. But we're on page 7. We're on page 7. And right there about in the middle of the page, it says Romans 8, 18. And then you got a little A, B, C, D, a little breakdown of the chapter. And this is just a review. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 9 is the Holy Spirit empowers the human to overcome the sin nature. And that's kind of what we've been talking about so far through the book, of course, is justification and then sanctification. Now we're into the part where we're being required to do certain things. And there's been a transition with the word therefore. If you look in Romans, in Romans chapter 8, verse 12, there's a word there that says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. And so there's a switch right there in verse 12. Between verses chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, he's been talking now about the power of the Spirit in our lives as far as helping us. And again, when I say Spirit, we need to kind of be careful as I say it, and you make your own decisions. But I'm going to ask you to kind of step back from the contemporary spirit, visions and spiritual voices and the mystical side of it, and actually think of an indwelling power, indwelling presence that maybe even goes, if I can say it this way, even goes unnoticed in our life. He's almost telling you this is happening in your life. Like when you got born again, you didn't all of a sudden see heaven. Something happened. And it's by faith you understand something has transformed you into a son of God. But as far as you may have experienced emotions, may have experienced something, or you may have not. You may have gotten knocked off a horse on the way to Damascus, or you may have just repented of your sins, accepted the truth, accepted the message, and now you're saved, and now you're growing. And the same thing, the Spirit is in our lives. It doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to start, walking on water, floating from place to place. It just means there's now an indwelling presence in you, and Paul's trying to explain it to you. Now, that's not dismissing the supernatural side of the Spirit, but it's also trying to bring in line more of a reality of what we have. And so chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, again, is talking about the presence of the Spirit in your body and what he is doing. And we're going to continue to talk about what the Spirit is doing with you today, later on in this chapter. But then in verse 12, it says, therefore, since this is the case, you've been justified, you've been sanctified, or you're in the process of being sanctified, and the Spirit has come alongside you and given you this new life, this principle of life, the principle of the power that's going to help you ride above the principle of sin. Remember the principle of lift, or the law of lift for an airplane compared to the law of gravity. You still have the pull of gravity, but the law of lift allows the plane to fly. You still have the same weight, the same metal, but because it's in a certain shape and at a certain speed, it's flying even though gravity's still pulling on it. Sin is still pulling on you, but because of the presence of the Spirit, you have an opportunity to fly. You can reach a certain speed if you want to say it spiritually. But now, verse 12, therefore, because that is true, brothers, we have an obligation. Another phrase for that would be we have a debt. You have a responsibility. But it is not to the sinful nature or to the gravity that's pulling you down to live according to it. For if we live according to the sinful nature, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. See right there? You put to death. You're going to do it. The Spirit is, you've been justified. You've been sanctified. You're in the image of Christ. You're maturing. God's helping you. The Spirit has come. But now you have to cooperate. You're going to now make a decision. Do you want to fly or do you want to pile up on the ground like a pile of metal, crashed airplane? And you will live, put to death the misdeeds of the body. You will live because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Again, this is talking about the idea that we now, we don't just have a relationship with God that we've been saved or no longer going to be judged. We've gone from the place of being enemies of God, remember, and the wrath of God was being revealed in chapter 1 against the world. Later on, it talks about the law reveals the wrath of God and the punishment of God. Well, we've been taken from that place of being in a place of humanity where we are under the wrath of God to a place of not just being justified, not just being able to come to God, but we are now in a position where we say to Him, you receive the Spirit, and by Him, by that Spirit that lives within you, we cry, Abba, Father. You are now in an intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe, not just because you are a creation, because there's much of creation that is going to be judged. There's many humans that are going to be judged that are still under wrath. But you have come past that wrath and have now in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, in a relationship of Abba, Father. And we've talked about it before, and you've heard other people talk about it. The word Abba is a very intimate term. It means daddy. It's something that a child would call their father. So this is your relationship now with God. That doesn't mean He's a sugar daddy. It doesn't mean He's a pushover. It doesn't mean you get whatever you want because you whine and cry. It means you are now in a special place, as that includes training, that includes discipline. You are His utmost concern. And again, so I mean, just because you say daddy doesn't mean you get whatever. Sometimes you think of daddy, you think, you know, a whiny, cry little baby or child or something. That's not the point here. This just means He's very concerned about you like a father would be to a very close child. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering in order that we may also share in His